When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Halloween 2024. Yankees season over, and baseball brought us to October 31st, right to November. It would have been nice for one of the baseball teams just to hand the baton over to a 6-2 Jet or Giant team, but yeah, that's not going to happen, as reality is now setting back in. Yes, we do have the Rangers and the Knicks and the Islanders and the Devils and the Nets and the winter sports that are starting, but really, what this November was supposed to be about was supposed to be coming off two successful baseball seasons, even though this one ended horribly for the Yankees, that you'd have a team, at least one team in the New York Jets, competing for an AFC playoff berth.
I think we should talk more hockey.
And now we're probably going to be talking more hockey than the Jets. Even J.J. Watt, who I got to give a lot of credit, because guys like him, who are friendly with just about everybody in the NFL, he's got this reputation of just being well-liked by everybody, is now on the NFL Today. You worked with him last year. Not a lot of guys just shoot from the hip that are on the shows like that. Like, you will hear, and you did there a little bit, but like even like Phil, you know, like Phil would dance around some of the stuff. You know, he wouldn't really get into the weeds with stuff, wouldn't really say what was on his mind. J.J. Watt yesterday comes out when he's asked on McAfee about Aaron Rodgers. I'm so sick of talking about that BS, right? Is that what it was? They're 2-6. Yeah. I mean, that was great.
Yeah. It's time to play some tag.
Yeah. That was great.
But I think we all have fatigue. You know, and this team, and I remember at the beginning of the year where we're looking at the schedule and everything, I said, you know, the Jets should be at least 6-2 by the time they get to this Thursday night game against Houston. Because the NFL had set them up with a schedule that featured a number of questionable quarterbacks early on in the season and rookie quarterbacks. And, you know, they lose to the Broncos. They lose to Sam Darnold. They lose to Jacoby Brissett. I mean, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And I agree with, I know we have to talk about it because it's here in our local market. But I think from a national perspective, people are sick of Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. They're sick of all the stuff that comes out of here. I mean, a coach has been fired. A offensive coordinator has been demoted. Devontae Adams has been brought here. You know, they're losing to bad teams or teams that they should have at least, you know, I think hung a little bit tighter with, especially the Pittsburgh Steelers game, especially in the second half. You know, a lot of these second half meltdowns are, no, that's exactly what J.J. Watt's talking about.
Yep. So, unfortunately, we will be talking more about them. We're going to be talking about them tomorrow and reacting to the game, but it is about the Yankees today. You want to join us, 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Josh in Smithtown. What's going on, Josh?
Good morning, gentlemen. The first thing I just wanted to say is, can Tommy Kaley throw fastball? I mean, I know his changeup is good and everything, but it's just frustrating watching these guys go out there and continue to do the same thing.
I know.
Thing over.
It's like Boomer said the other day, though. It's like if you throw a changeup every single pitch, what are you changing it up from?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And then the other thing is, too, you know, when you're learning how to catch or teaching someone how to catch, the first thing you're always told is keep your eye on the ball. And it doesn't really matter whether it's physical or mental. All that matters is that he dropped the ball. But I think that's purely mental. I don't know what the heck he was looking at. I mean, you just keep your eye on the damn ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a freakishly bizarre mistake, just like you have with Gerrit Cole. It doesn't make any sense, and there's no reason. I mean, this wasn't like a sinking line drive that a base runner would be like, man, that's definitely going to drop. I'm going to commit to going to second base, and then Aaron Judge is like, man, like I'm going to catch this thing and double him off. I mean, he's sitting there waiting for the ball, essentially. And there's just no reason for him to be looking towards the runner in that situation. None. So, yeah, it just, and it happens, as I mentioned before, that probably happens three times a year in all of baseball with a Major League Baseball center fielder and that type of hit to the outfield. Just doesn't happen.
That's one of those plays that keeps you up at night if you are the player that committed the error. So I'm sure that Aaron Judge, man, had a real hard time dealing with this one last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's crazy about this, too, is like the things that he did in this game were writing a completely different story. So the first two innings, I was listening to John and Susan in the car. We were coming back from New Jersey. And Susan, before the game starts, now I don't know if she said this before, during Aaron Judge's struggles here in the postseason, but before the game starts, she goes, I ran into Booney before the game, and he said, he's close. He's right there. Watch, tonight's going to be the night that he has a big offensive night. And Aaron Boone said that to Susan. So then he hits this home run in the bottom of the first, and she goes, just like I told you, Aaron Boone told me he was close, and here he is. And you're like, wow. I mean, if the Yankees are going to do this, he's got to be him, and now he's him. And then he makes this unbelievable catch, sprinting all six, seven of them, going into the wall. But what are we going to remember last night for?
The drop.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I mean, he did everything. Like, both, you know, the interesting thing here is both he and Gerrit Cole gave you Hall of Fame world-class performances.
Yep.
And both made two, I think, you know, Gerrit Cole made a bigger mistake than Aaron Judge by not covering first base, but both made just unexplainable, like, decisions or errors in the case of Aaron, and just a mental error in the case of Gerrit Cole, who was pitching his out of his mind.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what you wanted from both of those guys.
That's what makes it frustrating, because, you know, you're rooting for both those guys. You want them both to do, you know, what they're being paid to do, and for the most part, 99% of it, they did. They did. And to think that Gerrit Cole got two strikeouts after all of this crap's going on around him.
Yeah.
All right, gets two major strikeouts and then cannot get the first base and just get Mookie Betts out. It's a mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, in every...
That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
And everybody's watching that ground ball thinking the same thing. Well, he got out of it. Unbelievably got out of it. Nope. Let's go to Dan in West Islip. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. First time, long time. I think you guys are missing the biggest reason for this brutal loss. And being Halloween, it couldn't come at a better time. It's the curse of the Goomba grabber. Jerry Recco had it right, gentlemen. You guys downplayed it, and I think you put the curse on, and I hope it stays for about 100 years.
oh, man.
I mean, and guys, I'll leave you with a question. Do you think some of Ohtani's deferred money should have gone against the cap? Have a good one, and you guys rock.
Well, they
have a luxury tax.
Right, it's not a cap, and to count towards the luxury tax, it does. So that's just, not to get into the weeds of the contract, but there is a larger number.
It's a mechanism that they have to be able to show real value of the contract against the luxury tax to try to keep teams like the Dodgers from spending $1 billion on their team.
Yeah, but they're still found a way to do that. So as far as the Goomba grabber, Austin Capobianco. So we tried to get him on in the morning. We couldn't. He ended up over at Barstool yesterday. We had heard that they were going to be allowed back in. They changed their mind on that.
Major League Baseball did. The Yankees.
Right, right, right.
That was Major League Baseball who controls these stadiums.
Right, for the postseason.
Right, and it's Major League Baseball and Fox, you know, who decide on Ice Cube and Fat Joe. It's not the Yankees.
So they were banned from the game, and there was a pediatric cancer patient who went in those seats. So nice job by Major League Baseball and the Yankees doing that. But I guess it's fair. I mean, if we were going to put him on a parade float, if the Yankees won, then he's got to take some blame here, that the fact that they lost, I would think, if you believe in the curse of the Goomba grabber. Let's go to Chris in New Rochelle. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Boomer and Gio, how are you? Good morning.
Hi, Chris, what's happening?
So I was at the game last night. I'll tell you one thing. It's a fundamental meltdown is what it was. And as a coach in baseball, I coach up in Westchester County and I own a prep at the Renegades and Yonkers. I got to tell you something. That is the perfect example of what I can bring to the table to show 12 and 13-year-olds what not to do in baseball. Cole's got to cover that ball or Rizzo's got to charge the ball. How Judge drops the ball is beyond whatever. And Volpe, you got to make the throw, right? And the whole postseason has been like this. The base running, it's a fundamental, you know, it's all fundamental baseball. You can't make those mistakes. And they're a good team. Hats off to the Dodgers. But, I mean, come on. You can't do that. Boomer, you're a pro. You know that.
It's
so.
a lack of fundamentals is basically what it is.
But we all know that they know these things. Yes. Why don't they do them? And that's the thing that drives me nuts when people criticize the manager for this. Like, why doesn't the manager have these guys doing these things? They know that.
Yeah, but
I mean, they've been playing baseball their whole friggin' lives. Why are they not doing it?
If I could just corral what the Yankee fan is thinking, is they're thinking that this crap has been going on all year long.
Yeah, of course.
And it doesn't seem as it doesn't look. I'm hoping that Aaron Boone talks to these players. They spend every waking moment together. They're together for 162 games. It's 8 months of baseball, and there's a lot of crap that goes on, and you got to pick and choose your spots when you're a manager, and you certainly don't want to embarrass anybody publicly. So they always have to walk that fine line. I mean, these baseball players are making hundreds of millions of dollars guaranteed. And the manager is the one that, you know, has to be the politically correct one so he can save his own ass so the team doesn't turn on him.
All right. So, but think about these, you know, these things last night. Like, Gerrit Cole knows to cover first. And he just had this complete and utter brain fart. Aaron Judge dropping that ball is crazy. Like, I mean, what is Aaron Boone supposed to do about that? Hey, catch the looping liner that's hit to you, the soft liner that's hit to you. I mean, and then I mean, Volpe, it's like, no. Throw the ball. Like, yeah, make a better throw? What are you supposed to...
I mean, the Volpe and the Aaron Judge thing, those are just, they're just physical errors that happen in baseball games. You know, it's like a short hop at first base or a hard hit ball to third base goes off the glove of the third baseman, goes down the third baseline, a guy ends up on second, you know, that kind of stuff. That happens in baseball to every team. But, you know, not covering first base is the biggest disaster and mistake in my eyes in this whole thing, because that is just fundamentals that they do on day one. On day one, they do the J drill. The J drill is basically running from pitcher's mound to first base and getting yourself in a way where you can make a running catch and step on the base and not have the runner step on your foot, and you're not going to twist your ankle. You just do it over and over and over. It's like a quarterback in practice, dropping back, dropping back, dropping back, dropping back. It's just repetition, repetition, repetition.
Let's go to Jack in Hoboken. What's going on, Jack?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking the call. So, first of all, I'm a Mets fan. I had no dog in the fight. But to me, if you look at the video, I don't understand how Rizzo is not getting any more flack for not going
I'll tell you why, Jack. First of all, and even Gerrit Cole mentioned this, if you watch the way that the ball comes off of Mookie Betts' bat, it's not just your normal ground ball. It's spinning weird. It's
that
strange.
That could have been a Buckner situation.
Right. I mean, and Anthony Rizzo has been playing first base defensively at a high level for a very long time. He's thinking, I know that my pitcher's going to be there because 99,000 times out of 10,000 times, he's been there. I'm going to secure this ball and get this last out of the inning, and I'm going to toss it to Gerrit Cole. How many times have you watched a similar play where the pitcher sprints over there, and then the first baseman's like, no, I got it, but the pitcher's still there? Like, so it's on the pitcher to be there every single time, and he was assuming that he was going to do his job, and he wasn't there.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know when it was initially hit, it just didn't make sense that Rizzo didn't move. He just caught it and stopped.
I mean, I think it's real easy for us to sit here and say how he should have played that ball.
And by the way, you got to remember, he had to move to his left first because he was they were playing, you know, they're all lined up with the way that the scouting report tells them to line up because it's Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not thinking that Mookie Betts is going to be slicing one down the first baseline. So he's moved over to his right, which takes him further away from the base in the first place.
Right.
And the ball is hit to his left. So now, and remember, he's a right-handed glove. Mm-hmm. He's not a left-handed glove. Mm-hmm. So that means he's got to move over, get himself positioned to make a play on a ball that's spinning the opposite way.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of things he's got to deal with. And this is why I'll never forget arguing incessantly that not everybody can play first base. Like, you can't just put a guy out there and say, go play first base because it's the easiest position to play in baseball.
Right, yes.
Because these little nuanced plays happen like this, and Gerrit Cole did not do his job on that particular play. He got two amazing strikeouts and then just didn't cover first base.
Walt in Oklahoma. What's going on, Walt?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, good, Walt. What's happening?
Hey, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm an old-time Yankees fan when Mel Allen was calling the plays on the radio and
okay,
Vera and
that's good. That's good.
And all them were playing.
All right, good. What do you got to say about
last night's game?
Yep.
In my opinion, the blame goes on the manager. When Cole made the mistake of not covering first base, he should have gone out there and talked to him and calmed him down because right after that, everything went to pot.
It calmed him down. I mean, the guy won a Cy Young. He's not a 21-year-old who just popped out of Double A because he throws 100 miles an hour. He's 35 years old. He just came off of two strikeouts and a ground ball that should have been an out to get out of the inning. And you're telling me that that inning is on the manager because the manager didn't come out and talk to Gerrit Cole to calm him down? Like, I don't think Aaron Boone's the greatest manager in the world. I don't. And if they made a move, I would be like, okay, they're not going to. But to put any of that last night on Aaron Boone, to me, is insane. It's just, it's insane. Any other manager in the world would be sitting in the dugout going, why in the F is my team unraveling like this? I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I don't know what the manager can do about it in real time. But if there is a continuing lack of fundamentals from game one until game 160 through two, all the way through the playoffs, somebody's not doing their job.
Well, I think the base running stuff is something that should be addressed and wasn't addressed and was something that happened the entire year. That one I could say, yes, the manager has something to do with that. The things that happened last night, I there's no explanation for. There really isn't. And by the way, like I said, what's Aaron Boone supposed to say to Aaron Judge? Catch that ball? What's he supposed to say to Anthony Volpe? Make a better throw?
It's like, what is Brian Daboll saying to Daniel Jones when Daniel Jones doesn't do what he's supposed to be doing?
You suck.
No, but I'm just saying it's like the same thing.
I know, exactly.
Like it's always like, okay, I'm giving you the game plan. I'm giving you a way to protect yourself and to make sure that we are buttoned up and we are going to handle a situation so that guy over there doesn't ruin our game.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it set up, but yet you still did not do it.
Right.
That is a major flaw, and this is why I always say this about Patrick Mahomes. He wins the fourth quarter. He may not have the best statistics,
mm-hmm.
but when the fourth quarter and it's nut-cutting time, the game is on the line. Guess who sees it all clearly?
Yeah.
And whose heart doesn't start pitter-pattering. He says, hey, I got this. I got you, Andy. Don't worry about it.
Steady heartbeat. I got you.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Candy.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back, and he's got more from last night for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, good morning. We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. We will get to a ton of Yankee stuff, as you can imagine. But first, we give the Dodgers their due, as heard in Los Angeles.
Dave Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for!
Again, Dodgers radio with the final out. Alex Verdugo goes down swinging. Walker Buehler finishes off a 1-2-3 ninth inning and a 7-6 Dodgers win in a game the Yankees led 5-0. And then after the game was tied, reclaimed the lead at 6-5. You had Giancarlo Stanton hit the home run to make it 5-zip and then the go-ahead sac fly. But the Yankees couldn't hold it as Tommy Canley allowed two runs in the eighth, gave up two singles, and then walked a 145 hitter on four pitches. And then he had a couple of sac flies, and that was that. Here was Mookie Betts' special.
All those hours in the cage, that one guy turned their back on me. Everybody hugged me, kept me going. I mean, we hugged each other. I mean, this is a great group effort. And the spring training, this is what we said we were going to do, and we did it.
Yeah, he had fly to go ahead 7-6. Here was Buehler. What was it like being out there closing this thing out?
I don't know. It's hard to explain. I felt like I weighed about 5 pounds, and wish I was in a little better shape so my heart could have handled it better, but it worked out in the end.
I think he handled it just fine. He got through it, no problem. Freddie Freeman, the two-run base hit in that wild fifth inning. He had 12 RBIs in the series, World Series MVP. Now, before we get to the Yankee postgame stuff, I do have to give you the Thrivewell player of the game, and not a surprise, it's one Giancarlo Stanton.
And here's Stanton, and he swings and drills one to deep right. It is high. It is far. That is gone. It is a Stantonian home run.
Yeah, I would say he can lay his head down on the pillow quite peacefully with the way he performed this postseason.
You had Aaron Boone being interviewed by Tom Verducci when this happened, and Boone goes, bang, the second that hits the ball.
He is our thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. All right, the postgame sound. First, Stanton, you know what? Give the Dodgers a ton of credit. We know how poorly the Yankees played defensively, and they did what they had to do.
Just capitalizing on mistakes, probably, and opportunities.
A lot of opportunities that the Yankees gave them. You had on Fox after the game where Derek Jeter was praising Gerrit Cole for his toughness for getting through that fifth inning and then going back out there in the sixth and the seventh. A-Rod was like, okay.
Yeah, Derek Cole was great, but that's not the story. I mean, this is one of the greatest meltdowns that I've ever seen in 40 years.
It was.
40 years.
40, yes. The drop fly ball, the spike ball at third, not covering first. Here was Cole before we get to all that stuff.
So A-Rod's probably like, yeah, this is way worse than losing 3-0 to the Red Sox and slapping Bronson Arroyo's hand while I was running to first base.
That's
in
fair.
Game six. I mean,
I will say it's tough for those guys because they've lived it. They've played the game, and they're trying to give you an honest assessment of what they've seen. I actually give them credit for being honest.
No. Yeah, but 30 years? About 20 years when you lost 3-0 and you were on that team and both of you guys were sitting there at the desk.
What I don't remember... It's
a little bit bigger of a meltdown.
I obviously lived through it. What I don't remember about that series... Did the Red Sox just beat the crap out of them in games 5, 6, and 7, or did the Yankees play sloppy? I don't remember the last three games.
Seven was a blowout. Six was close. It was, you know, Schilling was pitching his ass off, but I feel like that game was close.
Right, but what I'm saying is did the Yankees play like crap like last night?
No.
The Yankees played like crap.
They pitched like crap.
They had three moments where they played like crap.
Right, yes.
In one inning. And it all
it was a
happened.
Bad inning.
And it all happened. And the amazing thing to me, as I keep going back to it, is that once the bases got choosed, what did Gerrit Cole do?
Strikeout.
Man, amazing.
And Ohtani was the second one
That's
of those
what I'm
two
saying.
Strikeouts.
No, Ohtani wasn't right. And we'll probably find out a little bit more about how bad his left shoulder is. But he wasn't right. But Gerrit Cole did his job to get, he got exactly what he needed. And everything was fine if he just covers first base.
And that and the other errors, here's Aaron Judge, can't play like that.
You give a team like the Dodgers three extra outs, they're going to capitalize on it. So, yeah, but it comes back to me. You know, I'm getting that first play. I got to make the play and, you know, probably the other two don't have him.
Now, in terms of the fight that LA did show down 5-0, here was Cole.
I think in this situation, I mean, you just got to get, you know, look, they, you know, Freddie did an excellent, I mean, they did a great job on a handful of pitches. They put the ball in play. And in baseball, you put the ball in play, you get rewarded for it sometimes. You know, but they're just so relentless in their approach. And they won a lot of pitches that inning.
Yes, they did. And now we move into Soto. So first, here was Cole, thoughts of having Soto here this past season, what it was like.
I mean, he had a fantastic year, and you know, it was just a real steady Eddie presence for us, and you know, just brought so many great qualities to our club. You know, he's really earned this opportunity.
Of free agency, here was Judge. Of course, we want him back in pinstripes.
I think everybody in this room wants him back. Just like I said, just besides, you can look at the stats and what he did on the field. I think it was the type of leader he is in this clubhouse. He just does a lot of the little things that people don't notice. That,
and then he was talking about how even when he goes 4-for-4, he's out there for extra BP. When he goes 0-for-4, he's out there for extra BP. And then we get to Soto, who, as you have said many times this morning, you just lost the World Series. You'd rather him just say, guys, not the time. We'll deal with that. Well, here he was asked by Meredith on Yes about being a Yankee.
Is this your last time in pinstripes? Do you think about that at all?
Yeah, you never know, man. At the end of the day, we will see where we are. Definitely tough game to be my last one, but really happy with what we accomplished as a team.
That's fair answer.
Gigantic balloons.
The next one.
He just said it was his last game as a Yankee.
Yeah, he doesn't want it to be, right?
No. He just said it's a tough game to be my last one.
If it is, yes.
He didn't say if.
Yeah.
He says it's a tough game for me, my last one.
Here he was.
It was a fun year.
The question was, do you want to be here if the money is comparable, meaning the Yankees?
We got to sit down and look at it whenever we have a chance with my agent and everything, and we will see what it's going to do.
This one might be the worst one. Maybe not, but they're all bad. Do the Yankees have an advantage of re-signing you?
I feel like every team has the same opportunities when I'm going to the free agency. I don't want to say anybody has any advantage, because at the end of the day, we're going to look what they have and what how much they want me.
You know, I can get paid for it. I'm all for it. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody thinks that, like, there's... He wants to be a Yankee. He wants to play with Judge. He really fell in love with the fans. Oh, this presence here in the Bronx, and he likes it in New York City.
Pay me, bitch.
Yeah. Exactly. He will go anywhere.
Yes.
Like, I would not be surprised if he was playing for LIV Baseball in Saudi Arabia next year.
Yeah, I don't know. And then we played this last hour. Do you expect the Mets to be a team to come after you?
I don't know what's the teams that want to come after me, but definitely I'll be open to this and every single team. I don't have any doors closed or anything like that. So I'm going to be available for all 30 teams.
Come after me, Marlins. Yeah. I'm available.
The amazing thing is that his agent's got to love this. Because
I'm sure he was probably...
schooled to say these things.
Yeah, I would think.
You know, whatever you do, don't box yourself in. Don't say something that could lead somebody to believe that you're not going to want to go play for them. I just want to extract as much goddamn money as I can from one of these teams. And you know, San Francisco's going to be in the mix here. They got all this money out there. They need something.
Lost out on Judge.
Right, they lost out on Judge. So, you know, they're going to be in the mix. The Mets will be in the mix. I don't think the Cubs will be in the mix. I think the Rangers would be in the mix.
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is he's got a for sale sign on his chest. I don't know. That's what it sounds like.
How about Seattle?
Maybe. Toronto. Toronto wanted Ohtani. Who knows? Good question. But he seems like he's open to listening to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
So he did the opposite of what you would have liked to have him done last night.
You know, rumor has it that money that the Pirates saved on Rowdy Tellez, that they're getting ready for a big push.
They make a big offer to Juan
Soto?
Yeah,
I think it was something like $20,000.
Is there ever, in the history of baseball, has anybody ever owned the team while playing? Like, the Pirates could say, hey, look, we'll give you like 85% of the stake in the team.
We had the player manager with Pete Rose once, but right. I don't know about player owner.
Freddie Freeman just owned the Yankees while playing.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Series MVP. So there you go. It's going to be very interesting over the next few weeks. I don't even know how long this will take. This could go into December, January, if he's going to really listen to anybody and everybody. So there you have it. Yankee season comes to an end. The baseball season is over as the Dodgers are your World Series champions. All right, elsewhere, we have week 9 in the NFL tonight, Jets and Texans. I heard you mention, and Al was telling me, too, about the J.J. Watt comments. I got to go find it. Was busy with the Yankee stuff this morning, so I'll try and find that with McAfee. Jets and Texans tonight. The Jets did sign two kickers, Spencer Schrader, I think, is the one guy, and Riley Patterson, I think, is the other.
Yeah, and they put Greg Zuerlein on injured.
On IR, correct. Schrader, and I might not even be his name. I think it's Spencer Schrader. I think he kicked at Notre Dame and has, like, one field goal attempt this year, and that's it.
It worked out great for them.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to kick for them, but they did sign two kickers. The Knicks did beat the Heat 116-107. Jalen Brunson, 18 of his 22 points in the second half. But how about Karl Anthony Towns? 44 points on 17 of 25 shooting, 13 rebounds. His head coach is Tom Thibodeau.
Coming into the two hardest.
Tom Thibodeau, this is him.
He can hurt you a lot of different ways. He doesn't hesitate. He's a lot stronger than he was, you know, 5 years ago. He can finish through contact, but he can put it on the floor, shoot the three. There's nothing he can catch and shoot with him, everything. So he has the skill set of a guard in a center's body.
And doing a lot of good things last night. He can knock down the long jumper, as we know.
Finally, he started taking some shots. You know, like...
Yeah, 25 of them.
Yeah, well, he should be. That's what he's brought here for.
They did come back from 13 down, by the way, in the third quarter of this game, the same way they blew that lead the other night to Cleveland. Knicks will be in Detroit tomorrow. The Nets will be in Chicago tomorrow after they beat the Grizzlies 119-106. Dennis Schroeder, 33 points and 8 assists. Cam Thomas had 19. The Devils, a 6-0 win over the Canucks last night, and the Islanders lost to the Blue Jackets 2-0.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So last night on the Barstool live stream in the Cave in New York, Mike Francesa shows up to watch the game with a few Yankee fans, and there were some Mets fans in there as well that were rooting against the Yankees, and it was a funny scene to watch. Like, if you knew the characters in there, and obviously we know Mike well, and Frank the Tank, and Frankie Borelli and his dad were in there, and the Marty Mush and Eric Hubbs, some of these other guys, Tommy Smokes, these guys were in there. But just seeing, so Frank and Mike were sitting next to each other watching the game, and they're both now of, like, because Frank's lost a lot of weight, they're both now a very similar build, you know? And it was almost like looking at the two of them, like they both started, like they were separated at birth, you know? And one had this very successful life, and the other one, you know, which Frank has found himself in a good situation, but it was just like, it was good,
bad embryo.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's not nice. We love Frank. But I mean, it was almost like, you know, Mike with his, you know, Sands Point quarter zip and his beautiful teeth and, you know, like everything. And then, you know, Frank was like chewing on his shirt. Dirty pants.
But Frank is not a Yankee fan. He's a Mets fan.
No, he's a Mets fan. He was just there to root against the Yankees.
Oh, so he roots against the Yankees. Okay.
Yeah. So he likes Mike and he loves the radio station. So it's just funny watching, like, just because you just see them watching the game. You don't see the game. So you have the game on, you have, like, I had on my phone.
It's like you're a voyeur. You're watching.
Right. Them, yes. So, like, just,
you're,
you know,
watching them?
You're watching this happen. So just watching Mike, like, you know, why would you do that? I mean, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? And then the face, you know, kind of looking like, okay, what's he doing here? And then there was a point, so I guess one of the guys, Tommy Smokes, had called into the Michael Kay show yesterday. So they are talking about this. Two guys are talking about that phone call. Now, I don't think they were trolling Mike or trying to get Mike's attention. I think they were just having this conversation. But you could see Mike's ears perk up. You know, they said, what did they say on that show? Who was on the show? Who was talking about that show? You know, so then I'm looking at Frankie Borelli's like, smack at his dad. He's like, look, oh, he's getting fired up over Mike. Okay. And like, this is perfect.
Oh, Frank is like, stirring a drink over
there. Right. It's like, you know, when the polar bear wakes up at the zoo and jumps into the water. You're like, oh my God, he's swimming. Like, you know, like he's, oh my God, he's getting activated. Like, we got to see this.
He's like, what did they say on the show? Who's on the show? Who's on the show? What did they say on the show?
So then they go, oh, well, I called into the show because I was defending the two guys in the stands that were ripping the ball away from Mookie Betts, you know, and they were saying that they were animals and they should be kicked out of the stands. And he goes, you know what? They were right. You were wrong, okay? Ban that guy. Get him out of here. He has no right to that ball. And he starts screaming back and forth with this Tommy Smokes. It was fun. It was fun to watch for me, just knowing all the characters. And it's like it was knowing like guys. So Frankie Borelli, we played golf with on the Barstool four play pod and played Glen Oaks with him and Trent. So like Frankie's a huge WFAN fan. He loves us. He loved Mike and the Mad Dog back in the day. But it was such an interesting experience that like here I am watching Mike watch the game, but I'm also watching Frankie and his dad watch Mike watch the game. Like, they were there to watch Mike watch the game.
And you're kind of like time traveling.
It was just so strange. You
going
know, like,
through this, yes.
Like, they were like, something would happen in the game, and they were like more interested in like, all right, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? What's he going to say? Is he going to erupt? But yeah, it was fun. And then just the visual. Like, I'm sure there's a screenshot. Just the visual of Frank and Mike sitting next to one another is just amazing. So, yeah, I definitely was watching that. It's a really good concept that they have there, throwing all those guys in there. And it's a few seconds behind. So, like, if something happens in the game, you can, like, quickly grab the phone and see their reaction to it.
What are you doing? Oh. Why would you do that? Why you go to third? It's just dumb. It's just a dumb play. Why would you do that? Why is he not covering first? Why is he not over there? Oh, my God!
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Mario in the Bronx. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, first-time caller. I appreciate it. I could vent a little bit.
Yeah.
So last night, I take out my number 15 jersey off the shelf. It's there since 1978. Haven't put it on since then. And so that gives you the little place where I was. And in the fifth inning, I just put it back with the dry cleaner paper and put it back on the shelf after they tied the score and said, nope, not on my watch wearing this shirt like this. So I put that back on the shelf. That tells you something. So I'm a child of George Steinbrenner days, if you know, to tell you, you know, as a fan. So Soto, I'm surprised to hear the way what he's saying in these interviews. I think he's looking to be the star of the team. He's not going to get that here. It's just not going to happen. No matter how much money he's paid, well, we'll see if that changes. But I don't think. I think he wants to be the star of the team.
You know, Mario, I disagree with that. And we're going to say the same thing over and over again. He had a great time here hitting in the same lineup as Aaron Judge. And he had a really great offensive season in part because of that. So I don't think that he cares about not being a star. We're going to have this conversation the entire offseason. Here is the answer we're going to give every single time. He will take the most money offered. That's it. He's not going to care where he goes, who he plays with, the city. He will take the most money, and there will be a team that'll go on top, on top, on top. There'll be a bidding war, and then he will take that most money.
You know, the amazing thing is that I could sit here and say, man, if he and Aaron Judge were in the lineup for the next 5 years together, the things that they would be able to accomplish would be mind-boggling.
I mean, they could lose to the Dodgers in the next four World Series.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I know that, whatever. But I'm just talking about their regular season numbers, how they fed off of each other all year this year. And if they were able to do that, like, for the next 5 years, it would be remarkable the numbers they would put up. But what I'm trying to get to is that's not even a concern right now for him. The concern for him is who is paying me the most amount of money for the longest amount of time.
So there was another example, same situation, young player hitting free agency, as they like to say, generational talent, Scott Boras as the agent. And what happened? Flirted with the New York teams, heard that he wanted too much. Mets backed out, wanted to be a Met, but the Mets weren't going to give him what he wanted. And then Alex Rodriguez signed for $252 million at the time, which was an astronomical number, with the Texas effing Rangers.
Yes.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, predicted that. So that's what's going on here. That same thing. The Rangers offered the most money. Scott Boras was the agent. He was the shining star of the free agency class. Young, 26-year-old, hitting free agency at the perfect time in his prime. And the team that says, here, this is it. This is the number. This is the highest number. He's going to go and play for that team. Now, you can narrow down those teams. And generally, good teams and big cities are the ones that have the money to spend. So you're not going to see him, you know, on the Rays. You're not going to see him, you know, on the Milwaukee Brewers or the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Cleveland Guardians. You're not going to see him there.
I'm just telling you, the other thing you got to take into account when you're talking about numbers this big, you got to also look at the state income tax.
Oh, sure.
And you also have to look at how these teams are going to want to kind of structure the contract so he can save as much money as he possibly can. Now, he's already made, just so you understand, he's already made $83 million in his career. Okay, he is now getting ready to probably sign a contract somewhere between $500 and $600 million. And depending on how the contract is written, how it's how much money he can save from deferred payments, things of that nature, much like what Ohtani did with the Dodgers, is probably going to be somewhat similar, I would imagine. And that means that there will be, I'm thinking the Mariners, no state tax out in Washington. I don't see anybody down in Florida. Maybe the Rangers in Texas, you know, no state tax. But there's going to be a team out there, maybe the Giants, but the Giants would have to do it the way that the Dodgers did it with Ohtani to save him as much money as they possibly could.
You know what players also do that are in these high income tax states is they'll have a residence in one of the non-income tax states, and they'll be there for 180 days.
Yeah, but if you don't think for 1 minute that the IRS in each of these states isn't watching this.
I'm sure they are, but I'm sure
somehow, some way, that kooky California legislature out there is going to figure out a way to pierce some of this money. I think it's got to be like number one on their docket out there.
No, but Dave Portnoy talks about this all the time, about how he make sure that he spends 180 days down in Florida and like documents it on X. So they're players that do that in New York. They're 100%.
I've been talking about this since 2007, since we first got on this radio station.
Well, good for you, goddammit.
And the point being is that with the amount of money that he is going to make, that is going to be a big part of
I know, but
his decision.
I'm not disagreeing. I am agreeing with you saying that there is a chance that a team like the Mets or Yankees sells to him that, look, we have these other players who spend 180 days down in Florida.
Yeah, I don't think it's as easy as that. It's not.
I'm telling you, players do that. I know for a fact players do that.
Derek Jeter got pinched by the eye.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com